The Christian in Complete Armor, Ephesians 6, verse 12, chapter 3, wherein is shown what a principality Satan hath, how he came to be such a prince, and how we may know whether we be under him as a prince or not, but against principalities and powers, etc. Section 1. The apostle having shown what the saints' enemies are not, flesh and blood, frail men who cannot come, but they are seen, who may be resisted with man's power or escape by flight. Now he describes them positively, against principalities and powers, etc. Some think the apostle, by these divers names and titles, intends to set forth the distinct orders whereby the devils are subordinate one to another. The head or monarch, and these, verse 12, so many inferior orders, as among men there are princes, dukes, earls, etc., under an emperor, that there is an order among the devils cannot be denied. The scripture speaks of a prince of devils, Matthew chapter 9, and of the devil and his angels, who with him fell from their first station, called his angels, as it is probably conceived, because one above the rest, as the head of the fraction, drew with him multitudes of others into his party, who with him sinned and fell. But that there should be so many distinct orders among them, as there are several branches in this description, is not probable, too weak a notion to be a foundation of a pulpit discourse. Therefore we shall take them as meant of the devils collectively. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but devils, who are principalities, powers, etc., and not disputedly to make principalities one rank, powers another, for of all, as spiritual wickedness, is being not proper to one to be spirits or wicked, but common to all. First, then, the devil, or whole pack of them, are here described by their government in this world, principalities. Secondly, by their strength, pursuance, called powers. Thirdly, by their nature, and their substance and degeneracy, spiritual wickedness. Fourthly, in their kingdom or proper territories, rulers of the darkness of this world. Fifthly, by the ground of the war, in heavenly places or about heavenly things. First, of the first, principalities, the abstract for the concrete, that is, such as have principality. So, Titus 3, 1. We are bid to be subject to principalities and powers, that is, princes and rulers, so the Vulgate reads it, we wrestle against princes, which some will have to express the eminency of their nature above man's, that as the state and spirit of princes is more raised than others, great men have great spirits, as Zebi and Zumana to Gideon, asking who they were that they slew at Tabor. As thou art, say they, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king, that is, for majesty and presence, beseeming a princely race. So they think the eminent nature of angels here to be intended, who are so far above the highest prince as he above the basest peasant. But because they are described by their nature in the fourth branch, I shall subscribe to their judgment, who take this for the principality of government, which the devil exercises in this lower world, and the note shall be, doctrine, that Satan is a great prince. Christ himself styles him the prince of the world. John chapter 14. Princes have their thrones where they sit in state. Satan hath his, Revelation 2:13. Thou dwellest where Satan hath his throne, and that such a one as no earthly prince may compare. Few kings are enthroned in the hearts of their subjects. They rule their bodies and command their purses. And how often in a day are they pulled out of their thrones by the wishes of their discontented subjects. But Satan hath the hearts of all his subjects. Princes have their homage and peculiar honor due to them. Satan is served upon the knee of his subjects. The wicked is said to worship the devil, Revelation 13:4. No prince may expect such worship as he, no less than religious worship, will serve him, 2 Chronicles 11:15. Jeroboam, there is said to ordain priests for devils, And therefore he is called not only the prince, but the god of this world, because he hath the worship of a god given him. Princes, such as they are absolute, have a legislative power, nay, their own will, in their law, as is at this day in Turkey, where their laws are writ in no other tables than in the proud sultan's breast. Thus Satan gives law to the poor sinner who is bound and must obey, though the law be writ with his own blood, and the creature hath nothing but damnation, fulfilling the devil's lust. It is called a law of sin, Romans 8:2, because it comes with authority. Princes have their ministers of state, whom they employ for the safety and enlargement of their territories. So Satan his, 2 Corinthians 11:15, who propagate his cursed designs. Therefore we read of doctrines of devils. Princes have their imperial area, which none know but a few favorites, in whom they confide. Thus the devil hath his mysteries of iniquity. The depths of Satan we read of, which all his subjects know not of, Revelations 2:24. These are imparted to a few favorites, such as Elymas, whom Paul calls full of all subtlety, and the child of the devil, such whose conscience are so debauched that they scruple not the most horrid sins. These are his white boys. I have read of a people in America that love meat best when it is rotten and stinks. The devil is of their diet. The more corrupt and rotten the creature is in sin, the better he pleases his tooth. Some are more than the children of the devil than others. Christ hath his beloved disciple, and Satan those that lie in his very bosom, and know what is in his heart. In a word, princes have their lista gallus, their tribute and custom, so Satan his. Indeed, he doth not so much share with the sinner in all, but is owner of all he hath. So the devil is the merchant and the sinner, but the broker to trade for him, who at last puts all his gains into the devil's purse. Time, strength, parts, yea, conscience, and all are spent to keep him in his throne. Section 2. Question. But how comes Satan to his principality? Answer. Not lawfully, though he can show a fair claim. As, first, he obtained it by conquest. As he won his crown, so he wears it by power and policy. But conquest is a crack title. A thief is not the honorester, because able to force the traveler to deliver his purse, and a thief on the throne is no better than a private one on the road, or a pirate in a pinnacle, as he boldly told Alexander. Neither doth that prove good with process of time, which was evil at first. Satan indeed hath kept procession long, but a thief will be so as long as he keeps his stolen goods. He stole the heart of Adam from God at first, and doth no better to this day. Christ's conquest is good, because the ground of war is righteous, to recover what was his own. But Satan cannot say of the meanest creature, "It is my own." Secondly, Satan may lay claim to his principalities by election. It is true he came in by a willy, but now he is a prince elect by the unanimous choice of the corrupt nature. "Ye are of your father the devil," saith Christ, "and his lust ye will do." But this also hath a flaw in it, for man by law of creation is God's subject, and cannot give away God's right. By sin he loseth his right in God, as a protractor, but God loses not his right as a sovereign. Sin disabled man to keep God's law, but it doth not enfranchise or discharge him that he need not keep it. Thirdly, Satan may claim a deed of gift from God himself, as he was bold to do to Christ himself, upon this ground persuading him to worship him as the prince of the world. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, "He showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world, saying, All this will I give thee, for that is delivered unto me, into whomsoever I will give it." Where there was a truth, though he spake more than the truth, as he cannot speak truth, but to gain credit to some lie at the end of it. God indeed hath delivered, in a sense, this world to him, but not in his sense, to do what he will with it, nor by any appropriatory act, giving him a patent to vouch him his viceroy. Not Satan by the grace of God, but by the permission of God, prince of the world. Question. But why doth God permit this apostate creature to exercise such a principality over the world? Answer. First, as a righteous act of vengeance on man, for revolting from the sweet government of his rightful Lord and Maker. It is the way that God punishes rebellion, because he would not serve me with gladness in the abundance of all things, therefore he shall serve his enemies in hunger, etc. Satan is a king given in God's wrath. Ham's curse is man's punishment, a servant of servants. The devil is God's slave, man the devil's. Sin hath set the devil on the creature's back, and now he hurries him without mercy, as he did the swine, till he be choked with flames, if mercy interpose not. Secondly, God permits this his principality in order to the glorifying of his name and the recovery of his elect from the power of this great ponate. What a glorious name will God have when he hath finished this war, wherein at first he found all possessed by this enemy, and not a man of all the sons of Adam to offer himself as a volunteer in this service till made willing to the day of his power. This will gain God a name above every name, not only of creatures, but of those by which himself was known to his. Creature, the workmanship of heaven and earth, give him the name of a creator, providence of preserver. But this of Savior, wherein he doth both the former preserve the creature, which else had been lost, and create a new creature, I mean the baby of grace, which through God shall be able to beat the devil out of the field, who was able to drive Adam, though created in his full stature, out of paradise. And may not all the other works of God empty themselves as rivers into the sea, losing their names, or rather swelling into one redemption? Had not Satan taken God's elect prisoners, they would not have gone to heaven with such acclamations of triumph. There are three expressions of a great joy in Scripture. The joy of a woman after her travail, the joy of harvest, the joy of him that divideth the spoil. The exaltation of all these is wrought into a sad ground, mainly many a pain and tear it costs the travailing woman, many a fear the husbandman, pearls and wounds the soldiers, before they come at their joy, but at last are paid for all, remembrancy of their past sorrows, feeding their present joys. Had Christ come and entered into affinity with our nature and returned peaceably to heaven with his spouse, finding no resistancy, though this would have been admirable love, and that would have afforded true joy of marriage, yet this way of carrying his saints to heaven will heighten the joy, as it adds to the nuptial song of the triumph of a conqueror, who hath rescued his bride out of the hands of Satan, as he was leading her to the chambers of hell. Section 3, Use 1. Is Satan such a prince? Try whose subject thou art. His empire is large. Only a few privileged who are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, even in Christ's own territories, visible church, I mean, where his name is professed and the scepter of his gospel held forth. There Satan hath his subjects, as Christ hath his saints in Nero's court, so the devil his servants in the outward court of his visible church. Thou must therefore have something more to exempt thee from his government than living within the pale and giving in outward conformity to the ordinancy of Christ. Satan will yield to this and be no loser. As a king lets his merchants trade to, yea, live in a foreign kingdom, and while they are there learn the language and observe the customs of the place, this breaks not their allegiancy, nor all that day thy loyalty to Satan. When a statue was made in Queen Elizabeth's reign, that all should come to church, the papist sent to Rome to know the Pope's pleasure. He returned them this answer, as it is said, bid the Catholics in England give me their heart, and let the Queen take the rest. His subject thou art whom thou crownest in thy heart, and not whom thou flatterest with thy lips. But to bring the trial to an issue, know thou belongeth to one of these, and but to one. Christ and Satan divide the whole world. Christ will bear no equal, and Satan no superior, and therefore hold in with both thou canst not. Now if thou sawest Christ be thy prince, answer to these interrogators. First, how came he into the throne? Satan had once the quiet possession of thy heart. Thou wast by birth the rest of thy neighbor Satan's vessel, yea, hath oft vouched him in the course of thy life to be thy liege lord. How, then, comes this great change? Satan surely would not of his own accord resign his crown and scepter to Christ. And as for thyself, thou wert neither willing to renounce nor able to resist his power. This then must only be the fruits of Christ's victorious arms, whom God hath exalted to be a prince and a savior. Acts 5:31. Speak therefore, hath Christ come to thee as once Abraham to Lot, when prisoner to Chedorlaomer, rescuing thee out of Satan's hands, as he was leading thee in chains of lust to hell? Didst thou ever hear a voice from heaven in the ministry of the word calling out to thee at once to Saul, so as to lay thee at God's feet and make thee face about for heaven, to strike thee blind in thine own apprehensions, who before had a good opinion of thy state, to tame and weaken thee, so as now thou art willing to be led by the hand of a child after Christ? Did ever Christ come to thee as the angel to Peter in prison, rousing thee up, and not only causing the chains of darkness and stupidity to fall off thy mind and conscience, but make thee obedient also, that the iron grate of thy will hath opened to Christ before he left thee? Then thou hast something to say for thy freedom. But if in all this I be a barbarian, and the language I speak be strange, thou knowest no such work to have passed upon thy spirit, then thou art yet in thy old prison. Can there be a change of government in a nation by a conqueror that invades it, and his subjects not hear of this? One king enthroned and another crowned in thy soul, and thou hearest no scuffle all this while? The regenerating spirit is compared to the wind, John 3:8. His first attempts on the soul may be so secret, and the creature knows not whence they come, or whether they tend. But before he hath done, the sound will be heard throughout the soul, so as it cannot but see a great change in itself, and say, I that was blind now see. I that was as hard as ice now relenting for sin. Now my heart gives, I can melt and mourn for it. I that was well enough without a Christ, yea, did wonder what others saw in him, to make such ado for him, now have changed my note with the daughters of Jerusalem. For what is your beloved, as I scornfully have asked, I have learned to ask where he is, that I might seek him with you. O soul, canst thou say, it is thus with thee? Thou mayest know who hath been here no less than Christ, who by his victorious spirit hath translated thee from Satan's power into his own sweet kingdom. Secondly, whose law dost thou freely subject thyself unto? The laws of these princes, whereas contrary to their natures, the one a law of sin, Romans 8:2, the other a law of holiness, Romans 7:12. And therefore, if sin hath not so far bereaved thee of thy wits, as not to know sin from holiness, thou mayest except resolve to cheat thy own soul. Soon be resolved. Confess, therefore, and give glory to God. To which of these laws doth thy soul set its seal? When Satan sends out his proclamation and bids, sinner, go, set thy foot upon such a command of God. Observe, what is thy behavior? Dost thou yield thyself, as Paul phrases it, Romans 6:16, a metaphor for princes, servants, and others who are said to present themselves before their Lord is ready and at hand to do their pleasure, by which the apostle elegantly describes the forwardness of the sinner's heart to come to Satan's foot when knock or call? Nor does thy soul go out thence to meet thy lust, as Aaron his brother, glad to see its face in an occasion? Thou art not brought over to sin with much ado, but thou likest the command, transgress at Gilgal, saith God, this liketh he well, Hosea 4:5. As a courtier who doth not only obey, but thank his prince that he will employ him. Needless thou be long in resolving who thou art, did ever any question whether those were Jeroboam's subjects were willingly followed his commands. Hosea 5:11. Alas for thee, thou art under the power of Satan, tied by a chain stronger than brass or iron. Thou lovest thy lust. A saint may be for a time under a force, sold under sin, as the apostle bemoans, and therefore glad when deliverance comes, but thou sellest thyself to work iniquity. If Christ should come to take thee from thy lust, thou wouldest whine after them, as Micah after his gods. Thirdly, to whom goest thou for protection? As it belongs to the prince to protect his subjects, so princes expect their subjects should trust them with their safety. The very bramble bids, Judges 11:15. If in truth ye anoint me king, then put your trust under my shadow. Now who hath thy confidence? Darest thou trust God with all thy soul and the affairs of it in well-doing? Good subjects follow their calling, commit state matters to the wisdom of their prince and his counsel. When wrong, they appeal to their prince in his laws for right, and when they do offend their prince, they submit to the penalty of the law and bear his displeasure patiently, till, humbling themselves, they recover his favor and do not, in a discontent, fall to open rebellion. Thus a gracious soul follows his Christian calling, committing himself to God as a faithful creator, to be ordered by his wise providence. If he meets with violence from any, he scorns to beg aid of the devil to help him, or be his own judge to right himself. No, he acquiesces in the counsel and comfort the word of God gives him. If himself offends and so comes under the lash of God's correcting hand, he doth not then take up rebellious arms against God and refuse to receive correction, but saith, why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sin? Whereas a naughty heart dares not venture his estate, life, credit, or anything he hath with God in well-doing. He thinks he shall be undone presently if he sits still under the shadow of God's promise for protection, and therefore he runs from God as from under an old house that would fall on his head, and lays the weight of his confidence in wicked policy, making lies his refuge. Like Israel, he trusts in perverseness. When God tells him, in returning to rest ye shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be his strength, he hath not faith to take the God's word for his security in ways of obedience. And when God comes to afflict him for any disloyal heritage, instead of accepting the punishment for his sins, and so to own him for his sovereign Lord, God may righteously punish the faults of his disobedient subjects. His heart is filled with rage against God, and instead of waiting quietly and humbly, like a good subject, till God, upon his repentance, receives him into his favor, his wretched heart, presenting God as an enemy to him, will not suffer any such gracious or amiable thought of God to dwell in his bosom, but bids him look for no good at his hand. This evil is of the Lord. Why should I wait on the Lord any longer? Whereas a gracious heart is most encouraged to wait from this very consideration that drives the other away, because it is the Lord afflicts. Micah 7:6. Fourthly, whom dost thou sympathize with? He is thy prince, whose victories and losses thou layest to heart, whether in thy own bosom or abroad in the world. What saith thy soul when God hedges up thy way and keeps thee from that thy sin which Satan hath been soliciting for? If on Christ's side thou wilt rejoice when thou art delivered out of a temptation, though it be by falling into an affliction, as David said of Abigail, so wilt thou hear, blessed be the ordinance, blessed be the providence, which keeps me coming from sinning against my God. But if otherwise thou wilt harbor a secret grudge against the word, which stood in the way, and be discontented, thy design took not. A naughty heart, like Ammon, pines while his lust hath not vent. Again, what music do the achievements of Christ in the world make in thy ear? When thou hearest, the gospel thrives, the blind see, the lame walk, the poor gospelized. Dost thy spirit rejoice in that hour? If a saint thou wilt, as God and thy Father, rejoice thou, hath more brethren born, as he is thy prince, that the multitude of his subjects increase. So when thou seest the plots of Christ's enemies discovered, powers defeated, canst thou go further forward with the saints to meet King Jesus and ring him out of the field with praises, or do thy bells ring backwards, and such news make thee haste like Haman, mourning to thy house, there to empty thy spirit, swollen with rancor against his saints in truth? Or if thy policy can master thy passion so far as to make fair weather in thy countenancy, and suffer thee to join with the people of God in their acclamations of joy, yet then art thou a close mourner within, and likest the work no better than Haman did his office in holding Mordecai's stirrup. Who hath held the latter? This speaks thus, thee a certain enemy to Christ, how handsomely soever thou mayest carry it before men. Use 2. Bless God, O ye saints, who upon the former trial can say, you are translated into the kingdom of God of Christ, and so delivered from the tyranny of his usurp. There are few, but have some one gaudy day in a year which they solemnize. Some keep their birthdays, other their marriages, some their manual mission from a cruel service, others from deliverance from some imminent danger. Here is a mercy where all these meet. You may call it, as Adam did, his wife, Kevel, the mother of all living. Every member rises up and calls her blessed. This is thy birthday. Thou wert before, but begottest to live, when Christ began to live in thee. The father of Prodigal dated his son's life from his return. This my son was dead and is alive. It is thy marriage day. I have married you to one husband, even Christ Jesus, saith Paul to the Corinthians. Perhaps thou hast enjoyed this thy husband's sweet company many a day, and had a numerous offspring of joys and comforts by thy fellowship with him, the thought of which cannot but endear him to thee and make the day of thy espousals delightful to thy memory. It is thy manumission, when were the indentures cancelled, wherein thou wert bound to sin and Satan. When the Son made thee free, thou becamest free indeed. Thou canst not say thou wast born free, for thy father was a slave, nor that thou boughtest thy freedom with a sum. By grace ye are saved. Heaven is settled on thee in the promise, and thou not at charge, so much as for the writings drawing. All is done at Christ's cost, with whom God is indented, and to whom he gave the promise of eternal life before the world began, as a free estate to settle upon every believing soul in the day thou shalt come to Christ to receive him for their Prince and Savior. So that from the hour thou didst come under Christ's shadow, all the sweet fruit that grows on this tree of life is thine. With Christ all that both worlds have falls to thee. All is yours, because you are Christ, O Christian. Look upon thyself now, and bless thy God to see what a change there is made in thy state, since that black and dismal time when thou wast a slave to the prince of darkness. How couldst thou like thy old scullion's work again, or think of returning to thy house of bondage? Now thou knowest the privileges of Christ's kingdom. Great princes who are baseness and beggary have ascended to kingdoms and empires to add to the joy of their present honor, have delighted to speak often of their base birth, to go and see the mean cottages where they were first entertained and had their birth and breeding and the like. And it is not unuseful for the Christian to look in at the grate to see the smoky hole where once he lay, to view the chains wherewith he was laden, and so to compare Christ's court and the devil's prison, the happiness of the one and the horror of the other together. But when we do our best to affect our hearts with this memory, by all the enhancing aggravations, we can find out, alas, how little portion of it shall we know here. This is a minimal excellence which cannot be fully seen unless it be by a glorified eye. Now can it be fully known by us where it can be fully enjoyed? Thou art translated into the kingdom of Christ, but thou art a great way from his court, that is kept in heaven, and that the Christian know, but as the far countries, which we never saw, only by map, or some rarities that are sent us, as a taste of what grows there in abundance. Use 3. Thirdly, this Christian calls for thy loyalty and faithful service to Christ, who hath saved thee from Satan's bondage. Say, O ye saints, to Christ, as they to Gideon, come thou and rule over us, for thou hadst delivered us from thy hand, not of Midian, but of Satan. Whoso able to defend thee from his wrath as he who broke his power, who like to rule thee so tenderly as he that could not brook another's tyranny over thee? In a word, who hath right to thee besides him who ventured his life to redeem thee? That being delivered from all thine enemies, thou mayest serve him without fear and holiness all the days of thy life. And were it not pity that Christ should take all his pains to lift up thy head from Satan's house of bondage and give thee a place among those in his own house who are admitted to minister unto him, which is the highest honor the nature of man or angels is capable of, and that thou shouldest after all this be found to have a hand in any treasonable practice against thy dear Savior? Surely Christ may think he hath delivered better at your hands, if at none besides. Where shall a prince safely dwell, if not in the midst of his own courtiers? And those shall such who were all taken from chains and prisons to be thus preferred, the more to oblige them in his service. Let devils and the devilish men do their own work, but let not thy hand, O Christian, be upon thy Savior. But this is too little to bid thee not play the traitor. If thou hast any loyal blood running in thy veins, thy own heart will smite thee when thou rentest the least skirt of his holy law. Thou canst as well carry burning coals in thy bosom as hide any treason there against thy sovereign. Now it is some noble enterprise I would have thee think upon, how thou mayest advance the name of Christ higher in thy heart and the world too, as much as in thee lies. Oh, how kindly did God take it that David, when peaceably set on his throne, was casting about, not how he might entertain himself with those pleasures which usually corrupt and debauch the court of princes in times of peace, but how he might show zeal for God in building a house for his worship that had reared a throne for him, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And is there nothing, Christian, thou canst think on, wherein thou mayest eminently be instrumental for God in thy generation? He is not a good subject that is all for what he can get out of his prince, but never thinks what service he may do for him. Nor he, the true Christian, whose thoughts dwell more on his own happiness than the honor of his God. If subjects might choose what life stands best for their own enjoyment, all would desire to live at court with their prince. But because the prince's honor is more to be valued than this, therefore noble spirits to do their prince service can deny themselves the delicacies of a court, to risk their lives in the field, and thank their prince too for the honor of their employment. Paul, upon these terms, was willing to have his day of coronation and glory prorogued, and he stayed as companion with his brethren in tribulation here for the furtherance of the gospel. This indeed makes it worth the while to live, that we have by it a fair opportunity, if hearts to husband it, in which we may give a proof of our real gratitude to our God for his redeeming love in rescuing us out of the power of the prince of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And therefore, Christian, lose no time, but what thou meanest to do for God, do it quickly. Art thou a magistrate? Now, it will be soon seen on whose side thou art. If indeed thou hast renounced allegiance to Satan, and taketh Christ for thy prince, declare thyself an enemy to all that bear the name of Satan, and march under his colors. Study well thy commission, and when thou understandest the duty of thy place, fall to work zealously for God. Thou hast thy prince's sword put into thy hand, be sure thou use it, and take heed how thou usest it. That wind called to deliver it up, and thy account also. It may not be found rusty in the sheath through sloth and cowardice, be smeared with the blood of violence, nor bent with gaped with partiality and injustice. Art thou a minister of the gospel? Thy employment is high, an ambassador, and that not from some petty prince, but the great God to his rebellious subjects. A calling so honorable that the Son of God disdained not to come in extraordinary from heaven to perform it, called therefore the messenger of the covenant. Yea, he had to this day stayed on earth in person about it, had he not been called to reside as our ambassador and advocate in heaven with the Father, and therefore in his bodily absence he hath entrusted thee and a few more to carry on the treaty with sinners, which when on earth himself began. And what can you do more acceptable to him than to be faithful in it as a business on which he hath set his heart so much? If ever you would see his face with joy, you that are ambassadors, attend to your work and labor to bring this treaty of peace to a blessed issue between God and those who are sent to. And then, if sinners will not come off and seal the articles of the gospel, you shall, as Abraham said to his servant, be clear of your oath. Though Israel be not gathered, yet you shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. And let not the private Christian say he is a dry tree and can do nothing for Christ, his prince, because he may not bear the magistrate's fruit or ministers. Though thou hast not a commission to punish the sins of others with the sword or justice, yet thou mayest show thy zeal in mortifying thine own with the sword of the Spirit, and mourn for theirs also. Though thou mayest not condemn them on the bench, yet thou mayest yet honest by the power of the high life to convince and judge them, such a judge that Lot was to the Sodomites. Though thou art not sent to preach and baptize, yet thou mayest be wonderfully helpful to them who are. The Christian's prayers when the magistrates and ministers soared also. O pray, Christian, and pray again, that Christ's territories may be enlarged. Never go to hear the word, but pray, thy kingdom come. Loving princes take great content in the acclamation and good wishes of their subjects as they pass by. Long live the king, coming from a loyal breath, though poor is more worthy than a subsidy from those who deny their hearts while they part with their money. Thou servest the prince, Christian, who knows what all of his subjects think of him, and he counts it his honor not to have a multitude fendedly submit to him, but to have a people that love him and cordially like his government, who, if they were to choose their king and make their own laws, they should live under every day, would desire no other than himself, nor any other laws than what they have already from his mouth. It was no doubt great content to David that he had the hearts of his people, so as whatever the king did pleased them all. 2 Samuel 3:26. And surely God took it as well that what he did pleased David. For indeed David was as content under the rule and posture of God as the people were under his. Witness the calmness of his spirit in the great afflictions that ever befell him. 2 Samuel 15:26. Behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Loyal soul, he hath rather live in exile with the good will of God than have his throne, if God will not say it is good for him. End of Ephesians 6, verse 12, chapter 3. Having been read by Peter John Bruce, he's also known as Brian Dean. None of my audio is a copyright. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God.